If the GF Medical Corps finds a wounded man still alive, they'll keep him alive. And the people on both Earth and Highlands World count themselves kings of infinite space, she said in an inconvertible tone. People say all sorts of things, but saying doesn't make it true. They can rebuild arms and legs. Can they rebuild heads? And I don't just mean you might get your head shot off. Do you know what war does to the men who fight? Tomas brought the mop handle, still clutched tightly, in front of his body. They see bad things. Worse, they do bad things. They kill people. They destroy things. They harm the innocent. Most of Yosef Anais who will enlist will turn to drink or drugs to dull the pain of their memories. Her voice softened. But you're an observer. You see everything as it is. Drink and drugs are barred to you. She peered at him, and her tone grew cold. Unless you renounce observing, after all it's done for you? He grasped the mop handle with both hands. I can both serve in the ground force and be an observer. Captain Schreiber said so. He lied. His only goal is to press the shilling on enough boys to meet his quota to his superiors. Soon as you would take it, he'd forget you. He'd love to get an observer to enlist. The military wants to destroy us. What? No. She hadn't met the captain. She wouldn't say these things if she had. And she never denounced the military before. They want to revoke the limits we observers call on our peers to follow so they can misuse computers and time-shift recorded data to better make war. You think that's all? Do you believe you'll have any say in what they will slot into your brain? They'll make you watch and listen to the recordings. They'll make you use computers for purposes other than reading text. You'll have no choice. I will, too, have a choice. Captain Schreiber told me. Anger overwhelmed meekness. He pushed the mop away. The wooden handle clattered against the nearest pew. He's the only man I've ever met who treated me with respect. The corners of her mouth turned down, and her eyes looked as cold as the handful of stars at the indigo zenith. Voice dispassionate, she said. You're just like your father. Shame flooded him when she did that, as it always had when she'd said those words in that tone before. But now, he felt something else. The captain's demeanor was a lifeline as he thrashed to keep himself from drowning. He was a man, and I am his son. Maybe I should be like him. You should be a fool, throwing his pearls to swine and getting trampled to death in the process. He had immature daydreams, just like you, and he didn't know what he was getting into, just like you. And he died for it, just as you are likely to if you enlist. You want to be a soldier? You want to come home in a plastic bag? Or with a mind forever broken by the shame and guilt your actions would earn you? Then in your last lucid moments, when you'll know your life or your sanity are ebbing away, to never return, see how much it comforts you to know you're your father's son. Her words stung him, but in a moment, his timidity fell away. You know nothing about being a man, Tomas thought. But then his anger faded. Thank you for telling me what you think I should do, but I will enlist. Her mouth opened without speaking, expressing disbelief. She blinked and her eyes glistened, and muscles momentarily worked in her throat. Don't make me cry. You don't have to. I'm not dead yet. She drew in a breath and peered down her nose, gazed suddenly hard. Arms folded over her chest, she said, You're close enough. You're no longer an observer. Get out of my pews.